Welcome, everyone, to the American Soybean Association's press conference at the 2011 Commodity Classic in Tampa, Florida. I'm Bob Callanan, ASA's Communications Director. Before we begin, I would like to introduce ASA's Chief Executive Officer, Steve Sinske. Many of you know him, but those of you that don't. Today, we will begin with ASA President Alan Kemper, who will brief you on a few of ASA's policy successes and current initiatives in the area of international marketing and free trade. Next, you will hear from ASA's chairman, Rob Joslin, who will talk about Farm Bill objectives, and then ASA First Vice President Steve Wellman, who will talk about his recent trip to the European Union, where ASA is working to modify a renewable energy directive that would disqualify biodiesel produced from U.S. soybeans. Alan, will you start us off?
Thank you, Bob. It's my privilege to be here and be president of the American Soybean Association. In the last marketing year, over 60% of the soybeans grown in the U.S. were exported, compared to 55% just a year ago. The 1.9 billion bushel equivalents exported of soybeans, soybean meal, soybean oil were valued at more than $21 billion with a B dollars and set a record for the fourth straight year. China, again, was our top customer for U.S. soybeans, importing over 25% of all soybeans grown, over one out of every four rows. Since its opening, its first office in Tokyo in 1956, the American Soybean Association has amassed a proud and successful record of working with the USDA's Foreign Agricultural Service to promote U.S. soybean exports. Today, with a market development funding ASA receives from the Foreign Agricultural Service and soybean checkoff fundings provided by the United Soybean Board and state checkoffs, and our organizations working together within the United States Soybean Export Council, we continue to build markets and demand around the world. Given the importance of exports and market development to the U.S. soybean industry, ASA is urging the administration and Congress to maintain full authorized funding for USDA's export programs, including market access programs, foreign market development programs, which provide funding for soybean export promotions activities. MAP needs to be funded at no less than $200 million for the fiscal year 2012, as authorized in the 2008 Farm Bill. FMD, or foreign market development, should also be funded at the full authorized level of $34.5 million, as provided in the 08 Farm Bill. Exports are a vital part of the U.S. economy. Agricultural exports continue to be the strongest component of that. Matter of fact, for over every $1 billion of exports, 8,000 jobs are created in the country, and a lot of those in rural development, rural areas. In addition to developing markets, ASA advocates for trade policies that increase foreign market access for U.S. soybeans. To increase export demand for U.S. soybeans and soybean-fed livestock products in today's global economy, we must get free trade agreements approved. ASA appreciates the U.S. trade negotiators bringing a successful conclusion to the U.S.-Korea trade agreements that would create landmark opportunities for the U.S. soy, meat, and poultry exports. Now ASA leaders and the American Soybean Association are urging President Obama to send up the FTAs to Congress and to have Congress fully vote up the Colombia, the Panama, and the South Korea free trade agreements. These agreements are long overdue. Our trading partners are going around us in this effort. We need to get these passed. One final thought. In December of 2010, representatives of the American Soybean Association's World Initiative for Soy and Human Health and the USDA participated in final preparations of a shipment of soybean flour or soy flour to Afghanistan. Over 3,000 50-pound bags were sent of soy flour were shipped from Port of Virginia to Afghanistan of high protein soy to help 5,000 Afghan women and their families in Afghanistan. ASA has also signed an agreement for construction and operation of a small soybean processing plant in Kabul and hired a country director, Lorraine Hartland, to help these activities and be the director. The $26 million cooperative agreement to fight malnutrition and help rebuild Afghanistan's food industry is only a small part of the American Soybean Association's export initiatives. Thank you very much. Mr. Jocelyn, I'll turn it to you. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you, President Kemper. Rob Johnson, Chairman of the American Soybean Association, and also Chair ASA's Farm Bill Working Group. The American Soybean Association is looking for ways to make farm programs more effective in helping producers manage risk. Risk management and farm programs play an important role in the underpinning strength of the farm economy, which in turn supports the overall U.S. economy. The importance of an effective safety net for farm income has grown as cost of inputs has increased producer risk. Reports from some ASA members in some areas of the country indicate that supplemental revenue assurance program did provide for losses incurred during the 2008 crop year that were not covered by crop insurance. However, at the same time, SURE did not provide adequate disaster to producers in regions of the country where participation in crop insurance is low or is at low levels. Crop insurance has become an increasingly important part of the farm income safety net for soybean producers in recent years. ASA does not support including crop insurance reform and reauthorization in the next farm bill. The American Soybean Association recently prepared a project, which I'm pleased the United Soybean Board has funded with checkoff dollars, to conduct a comprehensive study of soybean farmers' reasons for participation or lack of participation in buying crop insurance. Regarding traditional farm programs, often referred to as Title I, the American Soybean Association is assessing all ideas, including improvements to the Average Crop Revenue Election Program, ACRE. ACRE improvements might include changing the state loss trigger to a trigger closer home, such as a county level or a crop reporting district level. And this, we believe this would make this program more accessible and increase risk management opportunities for the soybean farmers. Farming is fraught with both risk, in both weather and price. Farm bill policy needs to take into account these systemic risks of our industry for agriculture producers. Remember, good public policy requires access for farmers in all regions of the soybean production areas to have an effective safety net. There are other programs of importance to soybean farmers in the Farm Bill, including conservation working grounds, market development, food aid, competitive ag research, funding, bioenergy, bioproducts, and others. The American Soybean Association is looking forward to working with the House and Senate Ag Committees as they develop the 2012 Farm Bill. The American Soybean Association leadership is looking forward to the voting delegates when they meet this Saturday afternoon, where we will receive further guidance on ASA's objectives for the 2012 Farm Bill. Now, I would like to introduce ASA's first vice president, Steve Wellman, who will tell you about ASA's efforts to address requirements under the EU's Renewable Energy Directive. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The American Soybean Association leaders and staff are working to address concerns with the implementation of the European Union's Renewable Energy Directive, or RED. Last month, I was part of a U.S. delegation that traveled to Brussels. The primary objective of the mission was to outline the United States soy industry's position to EU officials who are responsible for implementing the directive. ASA is working with other industry stakeholders, including the National Oilseed Processors Association, the United Soybean Board, the North American Export Grain Association, and the United States government to meet and work with the RED requirements. In order for biofuels to qualify for the EU tax credit mandates, the Renewable Energy Directive requires that biofuel feedstocks must reduce greenhouse gas emissions compared to petroleum diesel fuel by 35% by the year 2013 and by 50% by the year 2017. The EU set greenhouse gas savings default values of U.S. soy at only 31%, which is short of the 35% required. This disqualifies it from the mandate and the credits. European Union-grown rapeseed, however, passed with a 38% greenhouse gas reduction. Since virtually all of the soybean oil processed from U.S. soybeans in the EU goes towards the biofuel biodiesel market, this jeopardizes a $1 billion market for U.S. soybeans, about 2.5% of the United States production. The EU's Joint Research Center used Brazilian production, processing, and transportation data to determine their default values. This approach eliminates the advantages of the United States' highly efficient agriculture industry and ignores the greenhouse gas savings resulting from our efficiency. Actual U.S. data from a soybean checkoff-funded study shows U.S. soy biodiesel greenhouse gas emissions reductions of up to 52%. The study has been submitted to the EU's Joint Research Center for their consideration and approval, and it also has been shared with the United States Trade Representatives, the Environmental Protection Agency, and the United States Department of Agriculture. If all that weren't enough, RED also requires a proof of sustainability certification that requires biofuel feedstocks were produced on farms which have not been converted from high carbon density land, such as rainforests. We pointed out the infeasibility of documenting sustainable land use back to the farm level and support an aggregate approach under which all crop-based biofuel feedstocks produced in the U.S. would qualify. The United States production of soybeans delivers equivalent results to meet the EU sustainability goals. Existing conservation compliance from U.S. farmers with programs of swamp buster and sod buster requirements actually enforces that requirement and ensures that we meet those sustainability values that are in place with the EU. We just don't have the same process for traceability that they're looking for. Actually, tracing U.S. soybeans from the farm level to the EU consumer would actually decrease our efficiency and increase greenhouse gas emissions, resulting in the opposite effect that the EU is trying to reach. Our position is the U.S. soybean production and delivery system provides equivalent results that the EU is looking for, and we should qualify on an aggregate basis. Also, the actual values from the checkoff funded study should be utilized in determining greenhouse gas emission reductions. At this time, a bilateral agreement between the United States and the EU is the most logical way to show compliance on an aggregate basis. The American Soybean Association and its industry partners will continue to work together on this trade barrier that threatens the profitability of U.S. soybean farmers. These are only a few of the many farm and trade policy areas where ASA is actively working. We thank you, the broadcasters and journalists, who helped the American Soybean Association get its message out, and for the work you do to deliver the news to your audience. Thank you all.
Now we have about 7 minutes or so for any questions. Jerry?